if it's the oxygen or what it is, I'm starting to lose my voice. That'll keep me from yelling at you, all right, guys? I can just talk something. Teach by example. A children sees the father's private life. An example of love. Husbands, love your wives. I've already mentioned that. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. And in comes the grandson. He's raising you right. Thank you. Where was I here now? Husbands, love your wives. Why is that so important? Because your children will treat their spouse how dad treats mom. That is so true. I see it time after time. I've been in the ministry long enough. I've counseled enough problems in families that the children are treating their spouse just like dad treated mom. That's what they saw at home. That's what they know. And that's how they're going to act. Now, I realize a children can stop that progression and start anew. But most of the times, they'll do exactly what dad has done. Most children, you know, I want you to think this very clear. Most children will treat God as dad did. There's two things about that. If Jesus Christ is not number one priority, that was mentioned again too this morning. He must have read my notes this week or something. If that's not number one priority in your life, your children are not going to make it number one priority in your life. What you do in moderation in your home, your children will normally do in excess in their life because they're children. They haven't gone through the experiences you have. And if you're not making God first in your life, they're not going to make God first in their life because it's not important, because it wasn't important to dad. It better be important to you that your priority is number one. My personal life verse is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You put God first, and all these things shall be added unto you. You don't have to worry about everything else. God will take care of all the other things. It's not saying you're not going to work a job and they're going to do all that. But your children will see what you make priority in your life. That's number one. But you know what's more important? How you treated your children is what they'll think about God the Father. Because the only Father they know is you. And they'll hear God the Father. And, of course, they'll relate that to Jesus Christ. And they'll say, well, my father was kind of mean. He wasn't consistent. He wasn't as loving. And, you know, he was rude. What do you think their idea of God the Father is? He's going to be mean to me. He's going to be inconsistent. He's going to be rude or whatever it might be. You are a living example of God the Father in your home. And your children are going to trust God, or trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, based upon how you are treating everybody else in the home. You are a living epistle. And you are teaching to your children, verse 4, and showing them, generations to come, the praises of the Lord, how good God is. Fathers, we need to be talking about, boy, you ought to see the answers of prayer. You ought to see how good God is to us and be consistent. I'm going to talk about a few things here later, but we need to really let our children see that God is important in our life and then live godly so that they'll see that God is a loving and kind, compassionate, caring God. Because he's going to look at you. Your children are going to look at God the Father just like they look at you. Number two, in verse 5, he says this, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. He established a law and a testimony, the word of God. A godly father needs to be a student and a teacher of the word of God. Proverbs, we all know this, 22 verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, it's train up a child in the way he should go. Child. Not every child is the same. And God has given you children to have all sorts of different characteristics and attitudes and things, and you're going to guide them in the way that God has made them. God has a purpose for them. And you're going to figure that out because you're the father. If it weren't so, God would have gave your child to somebody else, but he gave them to you. And you've got to figure that out. You're going to have to train your child. Now, you got to train them in the Word of God. And it's very important. You know, the whole book of Proverbs is a father trying to train his son to take over the kingdom. The wisdom that given God had given Solomon all this wisdom, and Solomon's through, of course, the Holy Spirit, is trying to apply all this wisdom to his son so that his son can run the kingdom as he ran the kingdom. Now, Solomon made some mistakes, and it was pretty obvious, and his son made a mistake at the very beginning. He didn't even listen to the word of God. But men, we've got to be fathers. We've got to be men of God. We've got to be fathers who teach our children the word of God. 1 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Workmen, may not be ashamed. God expects you to be in your Bible. And your children know whether you are reading your Bible. Again, they see what you do at home. You just carry your Bible to church, and you take it home, and you set it on the nightstand, you set it on the coffee table, and it stays there all week long. Children know that. Yeah, but you pick that Bible up, and you read it. You say, well, we need to be developing our kids. You know, you may not, and I'm going to get down to some of this. I keep saying that, but we're going to get down to some of this. You've got to read your Bible to your kids. You've got to spend time with them. You've got to pray with your children. And so, let's say tonight, you don't do that. Tonight, call your kids together. Say, let's read something out of the Bible. And say, well, what are we supposed to read? Well, if you'd like to, start in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Boy, we got a great God. God created it all. We got it all. And before you go to bed, let's have a word of prayer. And Dad, lead him in a word of prayer. Then send him off to bed. So, oh man, I look like I'm a hypocrite. It looks like I've never done that before. Well, then quit being a hypocrite and start doing it. I mean, that's that simple. You've got to start doing it. And then, ladies, if your husband begins, and they do, they get all bothered by all the sorts of stuff going on in this world. You remind them, hey, hon, we got to read with the kids. We got to pray tonight and keep them on faithful. Because it's got to be done. Because God says you've got to teach your children the word of God. Because if you don't teach your children the word of God, what's the next generation going to have? Nothing. Because we didn't give them what we have. It is so important, and God expects us that we be in our Bible. And that means we've got to start learning it ourselves. I mean, I know we got all sorts of cares, and I've written this down. Man, I got to take care of my car. I got to check the oil and all this kind of stuff. I got to make sure that I'm making money. I got to be able to pay my bills. I got to make sure the bank's taken care of, you know, all that kind of stuff. I got to take care of the house. I'm fixing that. I got all that time. But what's most important? How am I developing my Christian life and developing in the Word of God so that my children can see the testimony of Jesus Christ in my life? It doesn't matter if your engine blows up in your car, but it doesn't matter how your children begin to live for Jesus Christ. That's so important. And it's our responsibility. Why? Because God expects us as men to train our children to be in the Word of God, which means you better start learning the Bible. You better start reading your Bible. And God also expects you to be a man of prayer. Excuse me. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 and verse 8. He expects us to be a man of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. No prayer tells your children you have no dependency on God. You know, you're at the dinner table or something, and you say, you know, we got some problems here. Car's having some problems. I said, hey, kids, let's pray. Let's ask God to bless us. Then when God does, you show them the answer and the testimony. Boy, will that build their faith. But you got to do it. You know, no prayer, then the children don't see that you have a dependency on God. No prayer, then there's no power from God. Well, we got to do everything ourselves. God doesn't want you to do everything yourselves. He wants you to depend on Him. And you've got to learn to pray. With no prayer, there's no hope. And your children are seeing this. Men, we've got to be men of prayer. Pray without ceasing. We've got to be students of the Word of God. We've got to be teachers of the Word of God. We've got to be men of prayer. God expects it. Our families need it. Every man needs to be a student and a teacher of the Bible. Number three, every father needs to be a Spirit-filled and faithful. In verse 8, where I titled this sermon, it may not be as their fathers. There was a generation before this that God had to destroy. Why? They were rebellious, hard-necked, stubborn, wouldn't listen to God, wanted to go back to Egypt constantly. You realize in the Bible, Egypt pictures going back into sin, going back into the world. They didn't want to trust in God. And then when they were put on the spot, oh, no, yeah, now we'll do it. No, God wants Spirit-filled fathers. If you have not come and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it'll be impossible for you men to be a godly man. You could be a good man. You can even be a good father. But you'll not go to heaven. You just being a good person does not save you. You've got to come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The hardest person to get saved is a person that thinks he's really good. And you may think you're a good person, but the Bible says, all have sinned, and you are a sinner. And you cannot raise a godly family being a sinner. You've got to have the righteousness of Christ. I like that one scripture. I led a lady to the Lord because of that. It says, except your righteousness succeeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall also likewise perish. The scribes and the Pharisees, these are people that knew the Bible inside and out. These are people that were in church every single day. How is my righteousness ever going to be more than their fake righteous, self-righteousness? And there's only one way. When you accept Jesus Christ, you're put in Christ, the righteousness of Christ. When God the Father looks down at me or looks down at the preacher, he sees us not in our righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the only righteousness that's going to succeed that of the scribes and the Pharisees is his righteousness. And you can't have that until you realize that you're a sinner and you come and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. Admit that I'm a sinner and ask him to forgive you. And he used my verse this morning, Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I tell you, he was trying to copy my sermon. I know he read it this week, you know. And but until you come and accept Christ as your Savior, you can't be a godly father. You can't be a Spirit-filled father. And what our families need are men that will be Spirit-filled. You say, well, what's that mean? You hear the preaching, you read the Word of God, and the Spirit of God says you need to do that. You can argue with them and say, no, I won't. Okay, then you won't do it. But if you do it, you've listened to the Spirit, Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, you do what's right. You heard me say, hey, you know, you ought to read your Bible to your kids today. You ought to, tonight or in the morning or whenever, and you ought to pray with them. You say, yeah, I know, I should do that. Well, then do it, because that's being Spirit-led. When you know what is right, then you do what is right. When you know what is wrong, you don't do what is wrong. Because the Word of God says, do not do it, you do not do it. When the Word of God says, do it, then you do it. And your children are watching how you respond to the Word of God as a Spirit-led man. You have got to listen to God. You've got to. You've got to be led by God in all that you do. It will develop your Christian life. And as it develops your Christian life, as you walk in the Spirit, being faithful, then it will develop your children's and, of course, your wife. Your wife will follow you in your Christian walk. It'll create a desire in others as they see your life change and get better and God blessing your life, a desire to know the God that you know. It'll open up the opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord. And I tell you what, you lead somebody to the Lord and you come home and you tell your children that day and your wife, I got to lead so-and-so to the Lord. And they're going to be in church. That's going to change a big thing in your children's life. My father wants to do what's right for God. And your children are saying, I want to be like Dad. It's so important that we be Spirit-filled men. Trusting on God, besides that, it pleases God. You do want to please God, right? And it fulfills being filled with the Spirit of God, pleases God. There's one thing that I kind of left out of my notes, and before I go to point four, I want to say, men, you and I are going to stand before God and give an account of our lives. The Bible says we're going to give an account of the things which we've done in this flesh, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And you'll be held accountable. God made you the head of the family. That did not mean that he made you mean and, you know, a dictator. It means he put you in a position of responsibility. And when you stand before Jesus Christ, he's going to say, how'd your family go? Well, I left that up to my wife. No, you did not. I left it up to you. How did their schooling go? Do they know who I am? Did you pray with them? that you and I are going to be held responsible for everything in our family. Do not push it off on your wife. She is responsible to you, if you read the Word of God proper. Of course, or she's responsible to God too. I'm not saying that. But you are responsible for your wife, your children, and how you ran your family. It is a serious matter when he said you're the head of the home. It wasn't to make us dictators. It was to make us responsible. And with that responsibility, as you've heard this before, great privilege comes great responsibility. And God has given us a tremendous privilege to head up the home for him, to be an example of Jesus Christ. But it comes with a tremendous responsibility, men. Now, some of you are young men, and you're not married yet, and you're going, oh my, better not get married. No, marriage is a wonderful life. You let God guide you to the right woman. It is a blessing. It is tremendous. And I want to say last of all, a godly father will love his family. He'll make his wife queen of the home. He'll show the love towards her because he'll teach his children how to love their spouse. He'll take care of her. He'll guide her. He'll protect her, help her in every which way. My daughter was getting married, and of course, and I had to consult with my going to be new son-in-law. And he was a little cocky. Now he's in the ministry, and hopefully he's not listening. And he said, I said, Jeremy, when you get home from work, your job has just begun. You are the father. She needs help with dishes, you better do them. She needs help picking up the toys with the kids. She'd been working all day trying to take care of it. You better do it. You better help with the housework. You better help your wife. You are there to take care of the home. It didn't say the wife is there to take care of the home. It says you are there to take care of your wife and help her take care of the home. It's a serious matter. But I'm in charge. No, you're not in charge. Yes, you are. God put you in charge. But you're responsible to do the work. Why are we pushing it off? I got so many stories I could tell you about this, accounting people, but I don't have time to do that. But God made us responsible, and we divide up the house and said, okay, honey, your responsibility is all the way there, and my responsibility is here. So when I come home, I can sit on the couch and do nothing. No. Your responsibility is the whole thing, because that's what you'll stand before Jesus Christ and give an account of. You really will. Don't push it off. I realize I have a lot of things that go on in my life and in the ministry and all that. So when I got married, I told my wife, I says, this is how we take care of a checkbook. And I showed her how to take care of the checkbook. And she'd never had a checkbook before. She come from quite a poor family. She was a bus child. And she'd gotten saved, met her in Bible college. And we got married, and I says, this is how we take care of our finances and everything. And I says, I'd like you to take care of that and keep me tuned to what's going on. I've got all these other things. And she does. She does an amazing job. The only reason I'm not broke today is because I got a wife. You know, she takes care of everything. Tremendous blessing that God has given me. And I gave her that responsibility, and she tells me about everything that goes on. But I'm going to be responsible for it and make sure things are going on. So I love my wife, because a godly father will love his family. You'll love and discipline your children. You'll set the rules of the home. And the Bible says to rule your house well. It did not say perfect. A preacher cannot run his house perfect. If we could run our house perfect, we'd be in heaven with Jesus Christ, because then we're perfect. But no, run our house well. And keep control with patience and love, as Jesus Christ did, long-suffering and kind. If you could go back through your life, to what you were and how Jesus Christ was long-suffering with you, what did he put up with you before you accepted him as Savior? He kept you alive to the point where you became the priority on his list, as was mentioned before, and you accepted Christ as your Savior. That you can't have compassion and kindness on your children. They are going to make mistakes. You're going to be long-suffering, but you're going to guide them and lead them. A father does that. He doesn't push it off on the wife. He does that. Now, I realize a husband and wife are going to have to agree on the rules and on punishment and those type of things. And you better correct your children. A child left to himself is going to come to destruction. And you as a father have got to raise your children right. And the Bible says in Ephesians 6:4, not provoking them to wrath, but having a consistency, a punishment with love, to be able to punish your child and still hold on to him, caress him, and say, I love you. And I did it because God commanded me to, because he loves you too. He wants you to grow up right. No favoritism, no bullying around the family. Boy, that causes a lot of problems. You get home, Dad, and you become a bully. And don't ever be afraid to apologize to your five-year-old. That is a tough thing. To have to humble yourself and say, you know, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I shouldn't have spanked you. You know, I am sorry. It goes a long ways when they begin to look at you as an example of who God the Father is. Yeah. Godly families are developed by godly fathers. What does America need today? We need godly fathers in America. What do our area in which we live need? They need godly fathers. What does our churches need? They need godly fathers. What do our families need? They need godly fathers. And we will stand before God and answer how we treated our families and what kind of a godly father have you been. You have the opportunity, because you're still alive, I'm still alive, to change things and mistakes that we make. 1 John 1:9 is still in the Bible. I'm so thankful for that, you know. Confess our mistakes, confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Take a step out and says, I'm no longer going to be a hypocrite. I'm going to do what's right. And somebody will say, no, don't listen to nobody else. You be concerned what God's thinking about how you are living as a godly father. Because if there's anything that we need today, it is godly men leading a godly home. I'm going to ask for every head to be bowed. I'm going to ask Brother Mark if he'd come up here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, the opportunity I had to just go through that portion of Scripture, that telling our children and leading our families and teaching them the Word of God, that we got good men in this church, good men that can be really godly men. And even if we're already godly men, we can always be better. Lord, we've never arrived. So, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we had. I thank you for the things we've done. Now, Lord, if there's a man or a woman here today that has not accepted you as Savior, there is no better day than this day to come and accept you as Savior. Know that they're forgiven. Know that they have a home in heaven, and nobody can take it from them. So, Lord, the invitation, if they need to be saved, that they'll come. And as fathers, we'll do that which is right. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Mark.
Let's all stand. When we hear a message, our response should be something like this: Lord, I'm going to need your help. Do what I need to do. I'm going to need your help. And he's there, willing and ready to help us. So as the music plays, we'll take a few moments of invitation. And however the Lord's responded, sir, if Lord's working on your heart, let's come and ask him for help, because he will. Ladies, children, man, we could sure use some prayer as your dad or as your husband. Whatever it is, let's just respond to the Lord.
Amen. Thank you for that message today. You can be seated, and we actually are excited. We have two that are getting baptized today, and we're so very excited about that, and I believe they're ready.
Amen. We got some youngins coming in here. We'll let them get seated. You all know Tyler and Michelle Kern. They've been coming here for quite some time, and it's been great to get to know them over the last several months. Well, just a few weeks ago, Ms. Michelle accepted Christ as her Savior here at the church or at meeting with my wife. And we got to talking to both of them, and both of them expressed their desire to be baptized. And Tyler was saved as a young man, younger in life. And so he's coming as well to be baptized. And so we're so thrilled to have them come and follow the Lord in believers' baptism and take part in this baptism together, and also join our church today. And so we're thrilled to have you, Tyler. Tyler, do you know the Lord as your Savior?
Yes, I do.
Amen. Upon your public profession of faith, my brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Michelle coming. And Michelle, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?
I do.
Amen. Upon your public profession of faith, my sister, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death. Raised to walk in this world. Amen. What a blessing. Thank you for being here today. Brother Mark's going to come and give us some announcements.
Amen. Just a couple quick announcements as we finish. In your bulletin, there was a visitation on July 3rd. Maybe you saw that. That'll actually be Sunday, July 5th. All right. And so that'll be that. But of course, this afternoon, 2 o'clock, we'll have our service. We're excited about that. The Sostroms will be with us, and they'll be presenting, and we're excited about that. So be here at 2 o'clock, and we'll have choir practice after that. And just excited for the rest of the week. We'll see you Wednesday and all those things. All right. So let's all stand. And we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. And if you'd like to greet the ones who got baptized, just give them a minute, all right? Give them a minute, and they'll let them dry off a little bit. And then we're so excited for them to see them follow the Lord in baptism. And then also added to the church, we're so thankful for that and excited, all right? Brother Terry, would you mind dismissing us in a word of prayer, please, sir?